Hello, and welcome to the Responsive Family Sleep Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Hawley, holistic sleep coach, lactation consultant, peaceful parenting educator, and mom. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by all the conflicting sleep info, frustrated with sleep information that just plain felt wrong, or searched desperately for a truly gentle and responsive sleep approach, then you are in the right place. In each episode, we'll be answering your most pressing baby and toddler sleep questions, busting those sleep myths, and helping you understand truly developmental, biologically normal baby and toddler sleep, plus encouraging you to trust your intuition along the way. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to this episode. I am so excited for today's topic, talking all about baby massage. And I have a guest, Helen, and we are chatting across the world to Australia, which makes me happy because I love Australia. But Helen, why don't we start off with you sharing a little bit about yourself, doing a little bit of an intro with yourself and baby massage.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm a pleasure being here. And also, I had a pleasure interviewing you on my podcast, First Time Mums Chat. So yes, that was great.
Definitely check out Helen's podcast. It's awesome.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm Helen. I'm Helen Thompson. I'm a qualified childcare educator and baby massage instructor. I started doing baby massage because I got so frustrated with mums coming to ask me in childcare, how do I cope with colic? How do I cope with constipation? How do I cope with my baby's sleep? I can't connect with my baby. I can't talk to my baby. They're crying all the time. Mm-hmm. Help. So at the time, I couldn't help them because I was working in a childcare industry and I didn't have time to communicate and touch base with every mum that came to tell me that. So I decided to check out baby massage, and that's where I am today. And that's how I started doing baby massage.
I love that.
I went to a class and discovered, I went to watch somebody's class and saw all the benefits of it, and how, you know, after a mum had massaged the baby's tummy, how, you know, the baby actually feels his or her tummy after being massaged on the tummy. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what parents have been asking me all this time. So that's how I got started.
I love that. I love that you got into it through like not having a way to easily help parents with questions they were bringing to you. And then, you know, baby massage is such a great tool for so many different things. I know that I am often suggesting to my clients around gas and like digestive issues, checking out those things. But oh my goodness, there's so many benefits of massage in general and massaging your baby. Why don't we start there with just sharing some of the different things you find it really useful? I mean, you kind of touched that in that intro of why you got into it, but let's spend a little more time on that.
Well, it helps with sleep, and you being a sleep coach and having sleep it helps with that.
Yes.
I always suggest to parents to give them a massage just before sleep, because it's a great way of helping them. And I'll go a bit more into that later when we talk about the playful side of massage. Mm-hmm. But it helps with sleep, and it also helps with relaxation. Mm-hmm. And it helps build the immune system. It helps with brain development. And I don't want to go too much into this because I'm still learning this part of it myself, but I know it helps the baby to gain weight. And I think it's to do with the vagus nerve. And I'm still working on that at the moment myself, because I know it helps with gaining weight. When I studied, I was told that. But it's to do with the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is a big nerve, and it's to do with that. But I don't want to go into too much detail because I'm not qualified enough to talk about the vagus nerve. But I do know that that's how it helps the baby gain weight, and it helps the bonding with mum. Mm-hmm. But one of the great benefits I like is it also helps dad to bond with the baby as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, if mum's breastfeeding, dad doesn't get a chance to bond with the baby. So, yeah, massage is great for that.
Yeah, if you're nursing, you have so much more touch and skin-to-skin just kind of built into feeding. If you don't, as a family, know how important touch in general and intentional kind of touch like massage is, knowing that that's so important, it's such a great way to build in that touch, skin, connection time.
Yeah, because babies thrive on touch. They love to be touched. Yeah. And they love to be communicated with, because that's how they learn. I mean, communication, and it helps with social skills. That brings in the social skills as well. It helps develop their language as you're talking to them and you're singing to them all the time.
Yeah, it's so timely that we're doing this episode now, because I just watched a talk at a summit all about attuned touch and how like essential it is. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much of what Helen and I are going to be talking about. Like, it's so related, because touch is so vital, and massage is such a lovely way to, I don't know, a tool to bring more touch, and also to target specific types of things, for lack of a better word. I'm sure there's a more articulate word there. But let's start with, I know, before we get into sleep specific things, I know that you had mentioned like observing a massage class and seeing a fussy baby and they're working on their digestive and stuff. And that's an area I know I do a lot of recommending, you know, honestly pulling good looking videos off Google for my clients, because digestion is so sleep disruptive, right? Like when a baby's having gas or constipation or struggle with digestion. And so I just want to spend a few minutes maybe chatting about massage for that purpose, and then kind of shifting maybe more into sleep specifics.
Well, what I'll say about the tummy is there's a couple of things I'd like to mention as a massage, baby massaging. It's important to note, if your baby's just been fed, it's not a good idea to massage your tummy, because as you can imagine, they're going to have a lot of food and digestion in there. So that's not a good time to do it, because it's maybe about 45 minutes afterwards. And what we're doing when we're massaging the baby's tummy is we're going in a clockwise direction, because that's the way the bowel moves. Mm-hmm. The bowel goes in a clockwise direction. So the aim of the massage on the tummy is to push out all those bubbles and to push out all that congestion in the tummy, to ease it and ease all the tension in there. So when we go in a clockwise direction, we're pushing it out towards the bowel. So that's what I meant by explosive nappy, because if your baby's constipated or for any reason got colic or whatever it is, it going in a clockwise direction helps to push all that gunk out of the bowel, mm-hmm. or, you know, from it in a clockwise direction. Mm-hmm. And it can be quite a sort of, you can sometimes, if you I don't massage babies, by the way, I massage on a doll, which I'd love to massage on a baby, but I actually don't, because I teach them on a doll. But I've seen mums are doing it, and you can actually see when they're massaging that, you know, that they have the bubbles that they're pushing, and you can actually see the tension in their tummy
as they're working it out. That's so cool.
As they're working it out, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you as an adult have had a massage and you feel, you know, when you've got a bit of a tension in your body and the masseuse is pushing it out, that's exactly what's happening with the baby, mm-hmm. as well. And there are certain moves we do on the tummy, but mainly it's always in a clockwise direction that very reason.
Yeah. So waiting about 45 minutes after feed, because we don't want to make a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, look, a baby might burp anyway after a feed.
Of course.
But the important thing is to let them digest a little bit before you do it, because it's not going to help them if you do it straight after a feed. You've just got to wait until their tummy's had a bit of time to relax, mm-hmm. after a feed.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So I know that touch in general and massage can be a big piece of connection and bonding and, you know, supporting overall regulation, especially when we're doing nice, gentle massage like we do on babies. I love massage. Like, personally, I get a lot of therapeutic massage these days. It's not so gentle and it's not so relaxing, but it's very effective. But it keeps me running, so that's good. I thought we could talk a little bit about the ways that massage is relaxing and promoting, you know, connection and helping support that whole, you know, regulation of the nervous system and a baby's state, because touch is such a powerful tool when we're talking about connecting with littles.
Well, when I start a massage, I always, first of all, this is something, ask a baby's permission. And so many people say to me, but why do you ask a baby's permission? How do you know whether a baby is, they can't talk to you? But babies, as you know, from your sleep coaching, can communicate. They can communicate by crying. They can communicate by kicking their legs. They can communicate by smiling. They can communicate by pushing your hand, pushing their hands away from you, or pushing their hands towards you. So that's, those are all the sort of things to take in mind, bear in mind when you're massaging. And that's to do with regulation as well, because you don't want to massage a baby if they're not comfortable. I mean, if they're not comfortable and they don't want to do it, that's not going to help them. So if you massage from the top and you just do a whole sort of velvety cloak thing first, that's a very relaxing stroke, because it's telling the baby, okay, I'm just going to give you a massage, I'm just going to relax. And you talk to them about it. And massaging their legs is good for stimulation, and that sort of gets their body working and body, regulation working as well. And the little face as well is, but sometimes babies don't like to be massaged on the face. You've got to be very gentle with that one, because sometimes they don't like it. They don't like having their face touched. But
And that's that
yeah,
being attuned
you
to their cues, right? Like that's so important.
absolutely, yeah, absolutely, being attuned to their cues. And you'll get to, you as a mother or a dad, you'll get to know what your baby's cues are. I mean, every baby has a different cue, but you'll get to know what they are. But it's important to do that. And as the mention of the regulation, I mean, just by gent, you want to give them a fairly firm stroke, but not so firm that it really hurts. Just because you don't want it to be too feathery. Because if it's too feathery, it's not going to help them. It's not going to help their regulation or help their immune system, because it's going to be too ticklish for them. You've got to be fairly firm but gentle at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I imagine that takes practice and again, kind of attuning
Yeah.
into the baby's
Yeah.
the cues just to kind of go back to, because that's such an important point, right? Like getting them at the right time, watching how they respond. And I love asking them just from like that consent modeling also. Like, I feel like that serves so many purposes of kind of getting the right mind frame that you're watching them for their response and their acceptance and their openness. But also it seems like a really nice beginnings of consent modeling also. I
Yeah,
love
I think
that.
it's also good for the regulation part, because if your baby's not ready, it's not going to help them.
You can't force
No, you can't. I
it. No
mean, I'll go back to what you said about the touch. It's also about teaching them autonomy. Teaching them that it's okay to say no to touch. It's okay to say no if you don't like it. And it's really important that you actually listen and watch your baby for that reason, because that's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them trust. I mean, it's a big trust for a mother to touch a baby, or a father, or anybody to touch a baby. And it's a big trust thing. So I mean, if they're crying or if they're disappointed, well then, they're actually saying, no, I don't want to be touched right now. And it's teaching them that it's okay to say no. And you've got to accept that. It's all to do with that autonomy, and respect.
And I feel
So.
like that's teaching you to attune to your baby, right? Like I keep saying, going back to the attuning to their cues, but I mean, that takes practice, right? It's not something that a parent or a caregiver is innately born always knowing how to do because every baby is different. And so the more time we spend together with our baby and the more time we spend touching a baby, like and watching for those cues and those communication, the more you notice and the more you are aware, So touch is bonding. Like from an oxytocin perspective, but also just that intentional being with and watching for those cues. I imagine I'm gonna be really honest. I didn't actually do any formal infant massage with either of my babies, which is so funny because I'm
Nobody
such a
did.
supporter of it. It's just I don't even know. I mean, first time mom, I don't even know. It wasn't even on my radar at that point, but I don't know. We did so many other types of touch, but really didn't with my daughter. But that anytime you're intentionally present with another human and observing their cues and things like that, it is a practice, right? It's muscles that you're strengthening and awareness that you're strengthening.
Yeah. And it's fun watching your baby too, because it's that way of bonding. I mean, you're connecting with them and you're communicating with them and you're learning from each other. As you say, it is a learned response. It's not something that you'll pick up straight away. But it's eventually, once your baby sort of got used to the form of touch, they might turn around and think, oh no, I don't want to be touched today. And it is a learned response, as you say. I mean, it takes time to get to know your baby's cues.
So
But yeah.
when we're thinking about sleep, right? Where do you start when you're thinking about massage supporting sleep? Do you start thinking about it at bedtime? Do you think about it earlier? Do you think about it relaxing? Or I know we've talked before about playfulness. Where does your brain go when we're thinking about how can massage support sleep?
I think it depends on the mum, because I mean, you want to have a routine. I mean, you're a sleep consultant, so you know more about the routine part. But I think if you're going to do massage for sleep, you've got to follow have a routine. Not I'll get into the routine of the massage, but you've got to have a routine of when you're doing it, because then the baby will know that massage time is relaxation time. And massage time is a time when I'm going to relax. And also, if you're not going to do it at sleep time, you do it at a, have you ever heard of the quiet alert state? Have you ever heard of? Yeah, well, that's the quiet alert state is the time when a baby's just waking up and ready to be played with. And also that's a good time to do it. But if you particularly want to do it for sleep, have a set time of the day when you're going to do it, because then that ba the baby will know that that's winding down time and it's time for sleep.
I have a lot of families that do massage post bath. They'll do bath and then diaper and then some massage and into the rest of their bedtime routine. And I'm notorious for saying that baths aren't always great for bedtime routines, but when it is a good piece of the bedtime routine, when it works well from a regulation perspective with a baby or toddler, that can be a nice segue since they're already, just in their diaper and before putting on PJs. And when folks don't do a bath, then I'll often just suggest it, like do your diaper change and do a bit of massage, and then kind of head into the rest of your routine. I find a lot of families like that when they're doing massage as part of their bedtime routine.
I think I was going to say, depending on how old the baby is, I wouldn't do bath and massage at the same time for two reasons. One is a very small baby can get very overstimulated. And if you do a bath and then you do a massage, you're going to overstimulate your baby, so that therefore the sleep process may not work with the massage. Because they've been in the bath with the water, you've sort of washed them, done all that, and then you take them out, then you change your nappy, then you're going to do the massage. It's all a bit too much for a very small baby. But if they're about 6 months old, maybe 4 months, I don't know, I'm speculating here, but maybe sort of 4 to 6 months, that's probably better, when they've been out of the womb for long enough to sort of work out what overstimulation is.
That's a really good point because I am talking about older babies when I'm saying that, and I should have clarified that. So I'm so glad you brought that up because, yes, a newborn, a baby still in the fourth trimester is really different than an older baby who, we have a sense of their cues. We know what bath time, how they handle bath time, the transition out of bath time. And because they have more of an established routine. So, like a new baby doesn't need a big elaborate bedtime routine. And so that would be quite too much. So I'm so glad you highlighted that.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say that, because I think, and also not to do it before a bath. I mean, people probably don't, but if you're going to use oils and stuff, don't do it before a bath, because as you can imagine, oils are very slippery and they don't work with water. So no matter how caring and gentle you are as a mother, and I'm not saying, you just, babies can slip out of your arms, especially if they're slippery with oil. So I wouldn't recommend you do it before a bath either, because again, for that reason, but also for the overstimulation as well. It's not going to help their body regulation, because they're going to be too hyper And that's not going to calm their, the whole point of massage before sleep is to calm and relax the baby.
I think it's such a good point, right? Like a very young baby, it needs to be very simple. So pick a time of day, like that we can keep it very simple around massage. And I would argue that massage is more important ahead of sleep than a bath, like any day for almost most, for most kids. And for an older baby, we can have more complex routines while always keeping an eye on their regulation, right? Because we don't need to put something in the bedtime routine just because people say it should go in a bedtime routine, right? Just because it's supposed to be relaxing doesn't mean that it's actually relaxing for your child. Again, kind of coming back to reading them, right? Reading their cues and their regulation. If it's stimulating, there's a better time of day to do it than, you know, the 15, 20 minutes before bedtime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite things that you would suggest around baby massage at bedtime? Like any particular things that parents should be thinking about?
Well, as I mentioned, I like to be playful when I do, teach massage, because I guess that comes from my childcare background as well. There's, if your baby's teething, and sometimes when your baby's teething, they're going to find it hard to sleep as well. But this is a sort of with the baby's feet. If you actually gently squeeze your baby's toes, gently, I mean, on the top of the nail bed apparently is where it sort of helps with teething and relaxation. So if you gently squeeze your baby's toes from your big toe, from the baby's big toe to little toe, and then once you've sort of done that, sing that little song. You know the song, This Little Piggy Went to Market?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if you sing that song with them, you're helping them to calm down by sort of relaxing them, but you're also sort of singing to them and giving them that bit of playful time, because I believe that you've got to have a bit of playful time before you go to sleep.
Yes.
But then you've got to have also the calming time as well. So giving them that time, massaging them, but also being sort of gently playful, not boisterously playful, but just sort of gently playful. Does that, yeah. I don't know, boisterously is probably isn't a word, but anyway.
I like to think of it as like our higher energy, more like big body, get your sillies out, get your wiggles out kind of play is earlier in the evening. And then we can still be playful, but in a little bit more of a low key way around that relaxing time ahead of sleep. Because especially once you cross into toddlers need playfulness or they're not going to do anything, right? Like,
That's a great one to do with the toe, you know, with squeezing the toes and singing that song, because it's that playfulness, but it's also relaxing as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I also do, you know, there's another one you can do. If you open shut them as well, that's sort of helping them to stimulate them, but also help them to relax as well. You know the song, Open Shut Them.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that you can do that with their arms, like you go open, shut them, open.
Oh, and then you're kind of getting some cross body, like.
Yeah, you're crossing the midline.
Mm-hmm.
You're crossing a midline whilst you're doing that, and that helps them to sort of relax. You're being playful with them. Or you can lie them on their tummy and do incy wincy spider.
You know,
at the end of the massage, you just do incy wincy spider, and then when they come down, that's a great way of. It's incorporating the playfulness, but it's also incorporating them to relax as well. It's giving them a bit of both. Because you're not overstimulating them, but you're giving them a bit of both playfulness and relaxing at the same time.
Well, and I love that it's becoming a multi-sensory experience with the singing, you know, that they're getting they're getting more than just touch. I mean, touch is amazing, but they're also getting sound and music there.
Yeah.
Which can be really, really lovely.
And they're getting the vocabulary and social skills.
Yeah.
And you're crossing that midline, you're helping with their brain organization as well. I mean, you don't have to do that at sleep time. I wouldn't do too much of that at sleep time.
Mm-hmm.
I just do a little bit, maybe like the incy wincy spider. But if you're massaging them out of sleep time, make it more playful, make it more fun.
Yep. Like earlier in the evening and in between naps, during that more.
Yeah.
Quiet alert time. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it can be a bit more higher energy and still, you know, relaxing, but also, you know, versus like right before bed where you want to be a little bit more mindful of that you're not getting too silly. What would you suggest for a wiggly older baby? How do you have any tips for a parent that really wants to do some massage, but they have a more mobile baby who's, got the wiggles.
I think you mentioned at the beginning about stories, story massage. I would sort of make it more like a story and make it, particularly on their back, if you want, if they're wanting to give them a, make it like a pizza. Tell them you're going to make a pizza or something on their back. I'm just
I
imagining
love
this.
that.
Well, and you make little, you make the little patty pat patting gently, and you're patting on the tomato sauce, and then you do little touch them on the back with little sprinkles, and you're putting on the cheese. And then you could say to them, well, what would you like on your pizza after you've done that? And they'll tell you. So you can, because their toddlers are much more communicative, they can tell you what they like and tell them that you're going to put salami or whatever it is they want on it, or might be baked beans or whatever. I don't know. Just encourage them to tell you what they'd like on it and sort of put that on. And then when you turn them over, you can make a sort of roly-poly, sort of say, right, it's time to roll over now. What would you like on your tummy? Would you like to do pitter patter rain, pitter patter raindrops, or incy wincy spider, or round the clock? If they've got a bit of congestion, you can play with round the clock. You can teach them about how the clock works. You start at 12 o'clock, and we're going to go round to 12. Sorry, 3, 6, and 9. Have fun, that kind of thing. That's what I think doing with toddlers. But if you start when they're babies, this is a good key. If you start when they're babies, when they get to the toddler stage, they're more used to being touched, and they like massage. So that's probably more of a cue for you to be more playful with it. And they're more likely to sort of participate. But then again, you've also got to say, if they don't want to do it, don't, I mean, I've had clients who've told me they've massaged them when they're babies, and when they come back to the toddler, they'll put their the you know the mum will say, do you want a massage? You'll go no, and then about an hour later or 2 hours later, they'll go and get the mat, they'll go and get the towel, and they'll go and get the oil. They'll lay it all out, and they'll go, mum, I've laid everything out. Can I have a massage, please? They ask for it because they're used to having it, and you might have forgotten to give it to them because either you've asked them and they've said no, and then they sort of thought about it and they thought, oh, maybe I would like a massage. So
You proved me wrong with the pizza thing. We absolutely played that game when my daughter was a toddler, up right through her preschool years, make you into a pizza and all of that. And I never really thought of that as playful massage, but I guess I did do it without even knowing it.
well, yeah,
It's
I mean,
so
that's just an
true.
idea. There are so
I
many
love
different songs you
it.
can do. I mean, you can do pat a cake, and you can sort of sweep down their back and make, oh, there's so many different ways you can do it. I sort of come up with different ideas all the time, it depending on the class, depending on who I'm teaching and what sort of feedback I get. I make up things most of the time. I make songs up myself most of the time.
I love that. I think then
So
it's just getting comfortable with some basic strokes and then watching your baby and having some fun with it. What it sounds like.
And the story time as well. I mean, as I said, you mentioned that at the beginning. Although I haven't got a story time massage qualification, I do it myself anyway. I mean, once you teach a mum the basic strokes of massage, then she can add her own story. I mean, you could do the three little pigs, for instance, the story about the three little pigs, about the house of straw, and then the house of sticks, and then the house of bricks, and the big bad wolf, huff and puff, and you sort of go really fast when you're huffing and puffing. And there are so many different sort of stories that you can do with babies, especially toddlers. And that's what it makes it more fun and bounceful and playful with toddlers.
And you could even tell them stories about themselves, right? Like
Yeah, absolutely.
I use social stories a lot with my toddler families when we're talking about changes or just processing something that's happened. And I imagine bringing touch into that could be a whole different level of experience for them.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's a I haven't done this course, but with To Baby and Beyond, who I recently did a course with, a diploma course with, they actually have a thing called Karma Stories. And I think the lady who is the founder of To Baby and Beyond did it during COVID, when a lot of parents and a lot of kids were getting really stressed because they were inside all the time and not being able to get out. So she did this thing called Karma Stories. I haven't done it, but it is all based on massage, but she's sort of working in tune with the child.
Yeah.
And sort of letting them, you know, helping with their emotions and stuff. And I think that's quite interesting as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, touch is so vital that whether we're focusing on it in a sort of traditional sense of relaxation or in a more playful, kind of interactive way, there's just so many ways it's beneficial, you know, and so many ways that we can use it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've only touched on the surface here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So kind of as we wrap up our conversation, do you feel like we've missed anything? I mean, no, we've literally just scratched the surface. So we've missed like heaps and heaps and heaps and tons of info. But would you like anything we should like leave as we wrap up this conversation that maybe we didn't touch on?
I have to say to any mum, if they want to start massage, just skin to skin massage, you know, when your baby's a newborn, just massage, putting them on your tummy, skin to skin, and just rubbing their back. That's massage. And
love that.
If you're feeding them or if you're giving them a cuddle, you can just massage their back and your feet with your feet if they're struggling with breastfeeding or whatever. And if the baby's a bit fussy on the breast, just to press in the middle part of the foot. Mm-hmm. And just hold it there, hold it gently there. That's quite calming. It can really help sort of calm the baby. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, you don't have to sit down at one session and massage your baby completely from head to toe. That's, you know, I mean, that you don't have to do that. Just little bits at a time and building it up. I mean, I had split up, when I do a full course, I sort of split it up to Bub's beginning and then building and growing. And I can't remember what the third one is at the moment. It slipped my mind. But I split it up into three different categories. So it's beginning, and then it's taking the next step from there, and then it's building and growing and doing the whole massage.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's a key to say to mums, you know,
that.
Touch is so vital that it doesn't matter how you do it. As I said, skin to skin is really important. Just lying on your tummy, lying, you know,
mm-hmm.
baby on your naked tummy. That's a great way. And just gently massaging their back, or putting them on your shoulder and massaging their back, or just massaging their feet while you're feeding. I mean, it's all part of touch, and it doesn't have to be a whole thing at the same time. I've repeated myself a bit there, but yeah.
But that's so important, right? I don't know. I feel like there can sometimes be some intimidation, like, oh, I have to go take a baby massage course and all these things. And like, there's so much benefit to doing that. Obviously, I'm not downplaying that, but just that like you can take the concepts of touch and soothing touch and just weave it into your normal baby care and normal bond, like time with your baby. And that is very valuable as well. I think that's really important.
I mean, if you want to sort of go into more depths of touch and how to touch and which ways to touch, it's important to go to somebody who's qualified in touch, you know, to do it. But you can start by the basics.
Yeah.
But just if you want to go deeper and sort of do a tummy massage or anything, or even, you know, go deeper with the legs and the arms, I would always encourage you to go to a qualified baby massage instructor. But to begin with, just to get used to your baby and the feel and the beautiful smell of your baby. Babies smell so beautiful when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing that, what I said, is a great start.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's like not surface level is not the right word. Very accessible touch. And then if you want to go into something that's more targeted or a little bit deeper or a little bit more intentional, that's when having that guidance of here's how you can touch and here's what's going to help with colic or digestive issues or what have
Yes.
you. That's when we want people like you guiding, a parent, because there's knowledge behind the touch. And then there's also just very accessible touch that we can just incorporate without much guidance. And they're both really valuable.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I love that,
So.
Helen. Where can folks find your work? I know that we are on opposite sides of the world, but where can they find you?
They can go to mybabymassage.net/responsive sleep. And that's part of your podcast. So I sort of put a link into your podcast as well. They go to
Perfect.
the go to that, they'll get there's a page there where they'll get all the information. And that page is being updated all the time. It's yeah, I mean I'm updating that all the time and adding things. But that's if people go there, they can find out about what I do and what courses I offer, etc. I'm also on Instagram, although my baby massage Instagram is a little bit quiet at the moment. I mainly focus on the Instagram for first time mums chat, which is my podcast, as you know, because you've been on that. So go and have a listen to Kim's podcast on there. If you just key in Kim Hawley, you will find a lovely podcast I did with Kim.
Yeah, and you've
So,
had such
yeah.
wonderful guests. I mean, besides me, you've had such wonderful guests on that podcast. It's such a good resource. So you folks should definitely go check it out.
And check out your one as well.
Yay. Helen,
So.
thank you so much for this conversation. It was really, really great chatting with you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed having you and check out my podcast and also check out Kim's one as well.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope this episode left you feeling more informed, confident, and encouraged on your sleep journey. And just a reminder before you go that nothing in this episode is individualized to your specific sleep situation, nor is it to be taken as medical advice. Take what resonates, ignore what doesn't, and check with your healthcare provider about any medical concerns. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast so that you'll never miss an episode. And take a moment to rate, review, or share an episode you love on social media. All of that helps parents just like you find me, this podcast, and this gentle and responsive sleep information. I'll see you next time.